Hello, WHO. This is Herb Klambeck, your war correspondent with the Third Army, again broadcasting from along the Western Front. The achievements of this fast-moving army, beginning with its dramatic dash through France, followed by the push to the Siegfried Line and its part in stopping von Rundstedt, and its more recent smash to the Rhine, so dramatically re-emphasized again this week, have given its men and leaders a permanent place in the book of military accomplishment. Undoubtedly, many of you back home, and especially those with loved ones in the Third, would like to see its leaders. I have had that opportunity and take this means of reporting the experience to you. Very recently, as we were working on news dispatches, we learned that Lieutenant General Patton had called a conference for newsmen. We did not lose much time in getting to the appointed place. I am sure you would be impressed with the room in which we met the general. It was large, with huge maps of Europe and of the Third Army all over. Pacific fighting is also definitely remembered here, with a large map showing the progress of our boys in that area. There are many other items of interest, pictures of Army leaders and of accomplishments by our men. Records of casualties, both the enemy's and ours. Much secret information was also there before us, none of which will ever be revealed by any of us. Very interesting was the type of light reflectors being used, Nazi helmets over the light bulbs. Very impressive also was the crucifix above an arch in the room. On General Patton's entry, every man stood at full attention, but the Third Army leader quickly put us at ease. I cannot, of course, repeat anything that was said, but I can discuss impressions of the conference. And this, my first such gathering, impressed me tremendously. The general is a tall man, with that air of assurance that commands complete respect. He is neither soft-spoken nor loud. His voice is firm and pleasant, and his smile quickly makes everyone feel at home. His language is as interesting as he himself is colorful. Naturally, we noticed the decorations, a dozen or more of them, and the familiar Patton battle jacket, the impressive buckle and belt, and the revolver with its three stars. He wears field boots, and his step is as firm as his determination. When I went to the meeting, I expected it to be very brief and formal. Instead, it was a man-to-man conference, with the general mixing humor with his significant military announcement. I was more than pleased at the trust placed in correspondence and the way he invited questions. In his answer to one your correspondent put to him, General Patton gave the same detailed attention as the replies given to leading writers in the group. Moreover, he proved over and over again he is widely informed on many other matters, as well as military strategy. Most of all, during the meeting, I was impressed and pleased by the confidence of the Third Army leader. It was most encouraging. I only wish all the men under him and all their folks could have the same personal reassurance we were privileged to hear. Since the meeting with General Patton, I've had the privilege of meeting some of his other key men, among them General Franklin Kulin of Arizona, whom I saw in Koblenz at the time Fort Constantine fell. Again, I was reassured by the type of men leading our boys, their consideration for the boys, their unwillingness to take a single unnecessary chance, their joy when our casualties are light, and their sorrow when our losses are heavy. I'm glad to have had the chance to meet these and other men, leaders responsible for the lives of our boys in the ranks, and determined that the road to victory will be as short and with as little cost as possible. This is Herb Klambeck with our Third Army, returning you to Des Moines.
Hello, WQV. Is it okay to start with the second recording? Okay, we'll give the usual talk up and warning.
NBC, I am ready in 1 minute from now. Seconds from now. Hello, WHO. This is your war correspondent, Herb Plambeck, again reporting from the Western Front. Earlier this week, while in the 87th Division's section along the Rhine, and just after I had been in Koblenz, I asked to be with some of our boys who had helped so materially in taking that section. I was rewarded with a visit with about a dozen of our Midwestern infantrymen with the Golden Acorns, men whose job is commonly regarded as about the hardest of any that war demands. These men were all living out in the field, far away from most of the comforts and conveniences you and I constantly take for granted. They had been in action as recently as the day before, and as we talked, the sound of nearby shell fire punctuated our remarks. They are men of steel. They have to be to stand up under days and weeks of combat. They are men of supreme courage, though every last one of them is quick to admit he is afraid every hour of battle. Most of these men have gone through the terrible winter, and many spoke of buddies who are no longer with them. In every respect, these men have seen the full meaning of war, and not one of them has found it glamorous. And yet these men can still smile a little, still manage to keep their spirits up, and they seem overjoyed to meet someone from home. In the group was Private First Class Edward Nichols, whose wife and two small children live at Milan, Missouri, and whose folks farm near Cora in the Show Me State. Nichols was a teacher before entering service. He has seen much of war as a combat infantryman and on patrol. He, like most of the others, is reluctant to talk about his experiences, but he has some firm convictions about the long, hard process of re-education necessary to get German youth to see the better way. He doesn't want his little boy and girl to go through things such as he and his buddies have faced. Corporal Max Morgan, whose wife lives in Guthrie Center, is just as anxious to get back home as anyone, and like everybody else, is sweating out not only the job here, but also the fear of having to go to the China-India theater. He also joins with many others in deep resentment for strikers back home. Private First Class Donald Thiel of Eagle Grove, whose folks now live in Campus Town at Ames, is just 19, but he has seen too much of war. In addition to his infantry assignment, he has had anti-tank and demolition squad work. Though objecting to field rations, he's optimistic about the end of the war. Says he hopes to hear the WHO song fellows again soon. Sergeant Irwin Stark of La Crosse, Wisconsin, where his wife and daughter live, has not been over here so long, but long enough to gain the combat badge and to know its significance. He praised the cooks who do their utmost to make the very best of field rations under obstacles. I also talked to Private Floyd Huckabee of Edgley, North Dakota, who went through some bitter encounters with both the enemy and the weather this winter, but who is okay now and was driver for a Jeep in which I made the rounds. He hopes sincerely, but wonders some if this war will be the last one. Private First Class Fred Woodruff of Webster Grove, Missouri, like Corporal James Hartnett of Council Bluffs, Iowa, and the rest of us there, agreed Koblenz was much noisier than home, and like everyone else, is tremendously grateful our cities and farms have not felt the wrath of war. Of all the men I met, the one who impressed me most was Ralph Irby of Iowa City, where his wife and daughter live. Sergeant Irby was a buck private when he first joined the Golden Acorns, but he is a first sergeant and the holder of the coveted bronze medal now, and every man in his company worships him. His is a story of heroism far and above the call of duty. The story is so thrilling, I hope to have him tell it in his own words to a WHO audience soon. Iowa City, Iowa University, and Iowa as a state can be more than proud of Sergeant Irby. As for things the men on the front wish for, it's more mail and more papers and pictures from home. It's some of the entertainment that never quite gets up to them. It's not smoke so much as it's some of the good sweet chocolate that has been scarce of late. It's Red Cross clubmobiles and the pretty girls who go with them. And it's good spring weather. And more importantly, of course, news that their families are well and that they'll soon have the privilege of seeing their loved ones again, very soon. This is Herb Plambeck with the Third Army returning you to Des Moines.
Hello, WQV. How was the recording? Yeah. Okie doke. That's fine.